to complete the circle, yeah, there would be no Eric Clapton, there would be no Jimmy Page, there would be no Jeff Beck, the Rolling Stones, Keith Richards, all that, without the Southern
great blues players.
Blues players,
and let's go down
and the Southern black blues players.
Players.
I mean, Lightning Hopkins,
right.
Robert Johnson,
right.
On and on,
right.
Because they influenced all that
they
stuff.
They started it,
and then what the, took
let's
it? To, what took it to the next?
Sicko,
oh yeah, excuse me.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry,
you're fine. Sicko, you're getting carried away.
Yeah, I do.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's funny that you say Robert Johnson, because I'm in the town of Robert Johnson right now, right down the street from the museum right now.
Wow.
Beautiful.
How lucky are you?
Crystal Springs, Mississippi, right now. I'm right down the street from Robert Johnson Museum.
Is it true that there's really a fork in the road there that supposedly Robert Johnson made his deal with
that's up in the Delta. That's in the Delta around Clarksdale, Mississippi.
Wow. How awesome is that?
Marcus Dupree joining. And Marcus, you sound great. And
thank you.
You know what I love about your story, and I've never met you, but I'm looking forward to it. Craig Jenkins brags on you. What I love about your story more than anything is what I got from your 30 for 30 is, hey, I'm still standing. God's been good to me. It was a great ride while I had it, the football life, but life goes on for me. And I'm happy to be here. I got that from your story.
Well, no doubt. You know, I come from a real religious family. My grandfather was a minister. My mom was a secretary of the church. I built the church there in Philadelphia, Mississippi. So it's always instilled in me that, you know, you just can't depend on football for the rest of your life. And, you know, what makes, you know, anything that goes against you makes you stronger. And I always kept that in the back of my mind. So, I come from a real strong family, and I just try to persevere and keep moving.
Marcus, we were talking before about your story, and we were talking about Sean. Ask him the question. When we went to the top of the hour, we were talking about how you were going to come up and visit with us, and Sean asked something about people like you that are given a gift and have a chance to show it to the world. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, Marcus, respectfully, I'm approaching 50 years old, and so I've heard a lot of things. And one thing that struck me is someone said a long time ago, they asked the question, is it better to be a never was than a has been? And I'm not trying to be offensive with these labels. That was the
right,
question.
Right,
because
right,
someone
right.
like yourself, I grew up a Nebraska fan. And so watching yourself, Billy Sims, et cetera, I don't believe that you never asked for God to give you that talent. I mean, your talent
right.
was so, you, Herschel Walker, Boja, just off the charts. So people like myself, guys that have no talent, we kind of live vicariously through you. And so, you know, and I had to be reminded of your recruiting story by the 30 for 30, but it was a circus, frankly. And it struck me as you were a young fella that got caught up in a whirlwind of people that wanted to take advantage of your talents for their gains. And I just wonder, when everything was taken away, injuries, et cetera, yourself, I threw out Vanilla Ice, I threw out MC Hammer, I threw out, if there's any number, when that light fades, I wonder if the depths of that make it all worth it, or are they equally as low as the highs were? And I just wonder if, you know, somewhere in the back of my mind, me being a never has been, is kind of comfortable with that. And that was the point of the whole deal.
Well, you know, it's all about, you know, I know I had a God-given talent, but at the same time, I didn't know I was as talented as I was, so I was just trying to prepare myself to go to college so my mom wouldn't have to pay for it. She was a school teacher. So, and then, you know, like I said, I come from a good background where people worked all the time. It didn't matter, you know, and they always taught me about life. You know, life has ups and downs. My grandfather used to preach about it. And so you got to deal with the good. You got to deal with the bad. It all goes along at the same time. So it's just all about how you deal with the good and the negative, the positive. Well, however, it's how you deal with it. If you have a problem, you got to, you know, try to solve it. You know, if you know, people get caught up in drugs and get caught up in all a bunch of crap, and, you know, they never think about it. You know, life still has to go on no matter what. You know, as long as you got breath in your body, you still have an opportunity to make a change. So that was instilled in me, and I'm still like that today, and I try to teach that to my grandkids. So, Mark, you know, as long as you got breath in your body, you still got opportunity to make changes.
Marcus Dupree joining. He will be in town next week at Calhoun's on the River on Thursday night, meeting and greeting. Tickets for the event, if you want to go, are available. Call Craig at 512-636-1928. Again, 512-636-1928 is the number if you want to buy tickets to it. And I'm looking forward to getting over and meeting Marcus next week. And when we meet, we're going to talk wrestling. I'm going to ask you a couple wrestling questions here in a second, Marcus, so get ready. But because I'm a huge wrestling mark myself. But Cinco, go ahead.
Marcus, comparing two 30 for 30 specials, both Oklahoma-centric here, I can't help but think when I watch your special, I find you at the end to be a sympathetic figure. I find you to be lovable, et cetera, a nice guy. Contrasting that with Brian Bosworth's, where at the end of that, we see him upset and trying to instill values into his son, presumably, but he's almost vilified there. And it seems like the Oklahoma people, Tony Casillas, I guess, and that almost turned on him, et cetera. And I wondered if you have any relations with the Oklahoma people, et cetera, and what has been the lasting relationship with those folks? Because it looks like Brian doesn't maybe have that.
Well, it's been great. I mean, you know, after the 30 for 30 came out, people understood why I left Oklahoma, what happened. And then Coach Woodson stepped up and said, you know, if it wasn't for his, you know, being like he was, you know, things would have been better. You know, because Coach Woodson made up 20 years ago, people just didn't know that. You know, he called me the other night. I'm at a high school football game. He meets a guy that I knew 30 years ago. They called me from somewhere in Knoxville. So, you know, it's all about communication, understanding what's going on. Coach Swisher, you know, apologize, you know, and we move on. Once again, you know, we make mistakes. You got to understand your mistakes. And as long as you understand if you made a mistake, you know, I can live with that. And you know, it probably cost me a couple of $1 million, but, you know, we can always make that back. But going back to Oklahoma, the question is, yes, they have opened their arms for me to come back to Oklahoma. I did a lot of stuff up there in the last 2 or 3 years, and I'm still doing stuff up there now. I made great friends with a guy like Joe Ray Shaws, who owns Tuna Rental, Steve Costello, who's one of the guys who deal with a lot of the oil stuff out there. Coach Swiss has introduced me to Howard Ham, who's one of the richest guys in the world, $17 billion. So, you know, it's been the 30 for 30 really did open a lot of doors, and Sooner fans, you know, understand what happened.
You know, Barry Switzer is an interesting guy because from the outside looking in, for lack of a better term, he looks like a guy that could, if given the opportunity, be a real prick, okay? I'm just going to put it in plain language. At the same time, Marcus, when I watch and listen to him, and I heard him on an interview last week with Keith Hatfield right here where we're doing this show right now, I can tell from listening to Barry Switzer that he's a relationship guy, that he's not a phony. And from that 30 for 30, you know what really spoke to me is when he said, I screwed up with Marcus. It's one of my great regrets in my coaching career, the way I handled him. When you first saw that, when you first became aware of him saying that on the record like that, that must have been huge for you to have Barry Switzer say, hey, you know what? Because Barry Switzer doesn't own a lot of things. Like, he's not the type of guy, unless he really felt that way, that he's going to own something like that. What did it mean to you to hear him say that all those years later?
I can say, whoa, it wasn't me. Or, you know, people could see that it just wasn't me. You know, I'm a 17-year-old kid, wide-eyed, ready to play ball. I went to the University of Oklahoma to get my degree, first of all. Went to the University of Oklahoma to win a national championship. Coach Barry Switzer was the reason I went to the University of Oklahoma. So, you know, to hear him say that, and I knew what kind of person he was with the players and in the relationships he had with the players, and he's just a cool guy. He was a cool guy to play for. He still is a cool guy. So, you know, when all these different things happened, I was just stunned. You know, he was treating me like that, but all he had to do was pull me over to the side and say, Marcus, doing what you're doing, I'm going to be on your butt. Just keep doing what you're doing. I'm proud of you. Yeah. And, man, I would have ran through the wall for him.
It's really interesting how we look at the game today. Do you follow college football today? I mean, do you consider yourself a Sooner, Marcus?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I do. I got two Crimson and Cream teams, University of Alabama, Roll Tide, and Boomer Sooner, Oklahoma. So,
Roll Tide? Where'd that come from?
Well, you know, I got to be really good friends with Coach Bear Bryant when he recruited me out of high school, and then a couple of my neighbors down the street, their kids went to the University of Alabama. And then my son ended up going over there. So that's the tie to the Roll Tide.
As we visit today with Marcus Dupree on the program, he'll be at again. He'll be in town next Thursday. Okay, Marcus, a lot of people don't realize this about you, but you are so and folks are going to realize this next week. You're just regular people. You're everyday people, as Sly Stone says. Although you are a college football legend, make no mistake about it, and you're enjoying your legendary status now, as you should. You're also a huge wrestling fan. Let me ask you this, because wrestling's not what it was when we were kids. Wrestling was unbelievably great when we were kids. You grew up in the shadows of a tremendous territory, Cowboy Bill Watts's territory there, with Mid-South wrestling. Were you a Mid-South fan?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about a little Mid-South wrestling, baby. We're talking about the Ernie Cat Land. We're talking about the Junkyard Dog. We're talking Bruiser Brody. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Hacksaw Butch Reed was one of my all-time favorites. All-time favorites.
I'm best friends with David Haskins. You know, that's David Rich, who's Tommy Rich's bastard cousin. You know him, right?
Let me ask you something about those days, okay? How great was it growing up in those parts? And did you ever go to shows when you were a kid, when they would come to your town, like in Philadelphia there, did they ever come to the high school, or where would they wrestle when they came close to you?
Poor Chop Cash and all that crew, they came. I mean, every Saturday when we got to the high school football game, my cousin Charles Tree McAfee, Michael Smith, we were at each other's house, starting with Mid-South. Then they had a wrestling that came on before Mid-South out of Greenwood. We used to watch it on TV. Then we'll watch Tupac's Crashing, which was Jerry Lawler, coming on about midday, and then, you know, you have the Mid-South. So, yeah, we went everywhere. It's unbelievable.
What's one of the better things you've ever seen live when you watch wrestling? Like, give me a story. You have a story from a show that you went to, like maybe a crazy thing you saw a fan do or anything along those lines. Because I'll tell you one last time. I was telling a guy, a guy sent me last night a clip of something from 25 years ago, and it had a tag team in it, PG-13, and I was telling him that one of the guys from PG-13 spit right in my face one night in the Civic Coliseum. You never forget. We were on the floor. You never forget when a wrestler spits literally right in your face, just a hot loogie. I felt like
slam.
I felt like just the absolute lowest person on planet Earth when the guy. But I was thrilled at the same time because I got to spit. Well, let me tell you this. So I told the guy the story. It was from their tag team, PG-13, and it was Jerry Lawler's son, Brian Christopher, who spit right in my face. Marcus, I looked at him and I said, "You're a sawed-off midget. What are you doing wrestling?" I was sitting there insulting the guy, and he looked right at me and spit right in my face. Share a couple stories with me, Marcus. Go ahead.
Well, I can always say, you know, mine, I guess, is kind of positive. You know, I signed the Packers. you know, I'm following Mid-South Wrestling, so they come to the UNO Arena, and I'm sitting there at the edge of the, where they come out at, and, the big cat, Eddie Ladd, had just won. He came, he was walking back to the dressing room, and I was kind of sitting in the stands right there, midway, and, you know, he slapped me across the chest and said, "What's up, big boy?" And I mean, everybody was like, "Went crazy." I mean, he just, you know how big cat was, he was slapping the chest, and so, you know, that was my biggest highlight of it.
Let me tell you something that's really funny. When I was a young kid doing what I'm doing, the radio show, I would go with Tennessee football players to wrestling, okay? One of the guys that I went with one night was a defensive end here named Jonathan Brown, who ironically enough is from your parts. I believe he's from Oklahoma somewhere. John Brown went on and played with the Packers and played with a couple people in the NFL. Well, John Brown was down the football players had a way, and you know this from when your Oklahoma days, had a way of getting places that normal people couldn't get to. So they got on the floor, okay, at the Coliseum. And yeah, it was during one of the Monday Nitro live shows. Hulk Hogan comes walking out there with Scott Hall. Hulk Hogan sees these guys in their Tennessee garb, and he marked out like we would for the wrestlers. Those wrestlers love those football players. Those wrestlers want to be football players. And those football players, Marcus, want to be wrestlers. During your days, did you ever have people, when you were, say, in the Oklahoma days, and you would go to a live show for wrestling, did you ever have a deal where one of those guys would recognize you and come up to you? What was that like?
Oh, my God. I was with Craig Jenkins last year, year before last, and down in El Paso, Corpus Christi, man, Hulk Hogan, Sting. I mean, all those guys, I mean, I would, like, walk in the back, and Craig said, "This is Marcus Dupree." Oh, my God. They just went crazy. But, you know, I played with Oklahoma with Dr. Death. Steve Williams.
Wow. So you knew Steve Williams.
Yes.
Wow. That's incredible.
We did a couple of shows together during the OU Texas weekend where a couple of guys at Raffles played at Texas, and we played at OU, so we wrestled there at the Sportatorium there in Arlington or Fort Worth or somewhere in there.
Sportatorium down there in Dallas where the Von Erich guys, they made that place really famous. That was the epicenter of the entire wrestling world at one time. As we're talking some wrestling and some football today with the incomparable Marcus Dupree, who I am pumped about. He's going to be in town next Thursday night. And again, if you want to go and you want to see Marcus, the number is 512-636-1928. Tickets are available. It's going to be at Calhoun's on the River. You're going to get the full meal with the full meal deal. And we're talking today with Marcus Dupree on the program. All right, Marcus, one more wrestling question for you here. And this is big time. This is big time here. I don't judge anybody, okay? You got to understand. That's how I am. I live in grace. I serve a God of grace. I believe in grace. I try not to live in judgment of anybody, but I'm going to judge you based on this answer. Are you ready?
Okay, let's go for it.
I want to know from you your three favorite heel wrestlers of all time, and I'm judging you, Marcus, on this answer. Go ahead. Good luck to you.
My favorite three heel guys, huh? All right, we're going to start off with the Mad Superstar.
All right, I'll take that. That's very old school. You're going back to your childhood. I will take the Mass Superstar.
Okay, and then would Ric Flair be considered a heel?
Yes, Ric Flair. I call him a heel. Ric Flair is one of the few. I mean, Ric Flair was a heel, but not everybody loved him. People loved him. Sure, Ric Flair was a heel. Ric Flair was a great heel, wasn't he? And you know what was great about him? In his NWA days, he used to come into that territory, even though Watts' thing wasn't affiliated with the NWA, Marcus. He would still wrestle there for Bill Watts because he had such a great respect for what Mid-South wrestling was. It was incredible back then.
No doubt.
Give me one more, Marcus. Give me another one. One more.
I gotta go with the big cat, Ernie Ladd.
I love Ernie Ladd. I told Sean when you said Ernie Ladd's name earlier, Ernie Ladd was incredible because he was a big former football player. He was that, he had kind of that black guy, sort of menacing. He could just scare you. He was.
Don't throw me yellow. Don't throw me yellow, Risa Bell.
Marcus Dupree is incredible today on the program. It's incredible. All right, Marcus, on the way out, tell me this from your playing days, that year with Oklahoma, okay? What was your favorite game that you had a chance to play in during that freshman year with Oklahoma?
My favorite game would have to be against the University of Texas because, you know, we came there. I didn't start in that game, but I had the opportunity to play, and a lot of people were watching on TV. And just the amazing atmosphere being at the, you know, at the Texas Fair, and half the stadium being orange and half the stadium being maroon. It was just an awesome atmosphere, and I got a chance to score my first touchdown, which was 65-yard or whatever. And my hometown newspaper was there, and so it was great. I mean, that was, I'll never forget that day, and till the day I die.
As Sean said earlier.
Then when Coach Wister pulled me over to the side and said, you know, it was a fake reverse. It's going to be a reverse, and Coach Wister said, keep it. And I said, keep it? Oh, I couldn't wait to hear that. I was waiting for that to say, keep it.
Wow, so they were going to run a reverse, and Switchers just told you on the fly, keep the ball. I want you to keep the ball.
Yeah, he said, keep it.
That's an incredible story. And so did everybody else on the field, do you remember who the split end was there that was supposed to get the ball?
Steve Sewell. Played with the Broncos.
Did he say to you, what happened to the ball there?
Did nobody know but me.
God, it's a great story. Switzer was so cool. I mean, that guy is just, I'm sorry. That dude just looks cool. He's a rock star. Hey, you'll love this.
Coach Switzer is the coolest dude I know. That's why I went to the university. I used to love his interviews that he would do after games. You know, I was watching, you know, because they played on TV every freaking weekend. Now, here we would get him. And then he'll be, you know, around. You know, we about to play so and so, and if they don't play a great defense, we'll mess around, put a half a hundred on you real quick. So you better play some defense. I mean, he was just telling you, we're gonna line up, we're gonna hit you in the mouth, and you're gonna stop us if you can.
Well, as a Nebraska fan growing up, he's got a lot of wrestling heel in him. He's a guy you're glad he's on your team, but if he's not on your team, I mean, he is gonna drive you nuts.
Yep.
And
guys like
because this morning I just spoke with Doug DeBose, Tommy Frazier, Mike Rozier, and Garrish. They're my best friends.
Wow, that is really cool. All right, let me ask you about Mike Rozier, a guy that you shared USFL duties with back in the day. You know, I'm a collector of USFL items, Marcus. I've got a ton of stuff from that league. I loved the idea of spring football. It was really cool. How good?
It should have made it.
Donald Trump killed it.
Donald Trump wouldn't have messed with it. It would have still be here today. Kids would have had jobs. This could have been the farm club for the NFL.
Was it better than you thought it would be, Marcus, or was it third-rate football when you were there?
I was in New Orleans. I was not too far from home. My mom can come watch me play. My little brother can come watch me play. At that time, I had one son. I mean, it was great because everybody loved New Orleans. My mom, especially my mom, everybody loved New Orleans. And the people down there are great fans. And, oh, my God, it just gives me chills to think about, you know, how great it was being down there. And Joe Canizzare ran a great team. And Coach Dick Corey was—he's a great coach, and we had some good players in that league.
I'm gonna tell you, people don't realize that the USFL—they put tons and tons of guys. As soon as the league folded, tons of guys into the NFL, and I mean hundreds of guys went into the NFL. I grew up in Philly, Marcus, so we would go to Philadelphia Stars games, and they put of their defense. They put 16 guys on the defensive side of the football into the NFL as soon as it folded. Guys like William Fuller and guys like that that ended up playing a long, long time. Sam Mills is a guy that would never have had an NFL career. He was a 5'7 middle linebacker who they said was too small, and he became a several-time pro bowler in the NFL playing down there for New Orleans. Let me ask you about the USFL while I've got you here, and we visit with Marcus Dupree on the program, who will be with us next week here, and we're really looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun visiting with Marcus next week. Marcus, on the way out, when you look back on your USFL and then to your NFL days, I just can't help but wonder how hard it must have been for you to get back into shape. I was talking to Sean about that before, and playing in, as you played in the NFL as a 28-year-old rookie after shredding your knee in the USFL. That, I admire that so much. I mean, it's one thing to be given God-given talent. It's another thing to say, you know, I'm going to prove to myself, damn it, that I can do this. This is just for me. It doesn't matter whether I play a down, whether I become an all-pro, whether I play a year. It doesn't matter. And that's what you did, isn't it, with your NFL stuff, with making the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I just give thanks to God and thanks to my family that I had such a supportive family and little brother to keep me going and something that we dreamed about, something that we talked about growing up. And, you know, just to see, you know, my family and my friends smile the day that I suited up with the Rams and was able to come to New Orleans and start my first ball game on New Year's Eve. And just to see them smile and Bud Holmes, who represented Walter Payton and Amber Dixon, all those guys, to put a smile on their face and it gave me satisfaction, and that, you know, to know that I set out 5 years and I can be able to come back and get myself in enough shape to make a team, which, you know, is hard to do just coming straight out of college. So, it wasn't about the money. It was about, you know, can I do this? If I can do this, I can do anything else in the world that I want.
Marcus, you've blown my mind today. It has been so much fun visiting with you, your personality, your love for people. You've got kind of a magnetism thing about you. Cinco and myself have marked out for you. I'm a mark for you like you're a mark for Ric Flair back in the day. I see you like the big cat Ernie Ladd right now, except you're a good guy in my world. But I tell you what you are to me, because I grew up in WWF territory. You're my Bob Backlund.
Oh, yeah.
You're my Bob Backlund.
Oh, yeah, I know Bob. Yeah, that's cool.
Marcus, thank you. We look forward to seeing you at Calhoun's next Thursday night. Great talking to you.
Thanks, Marcus.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to
coming. Thank you, Marcus. Sounds like he's having a beep there. Great talking to Marcus Dupree today on the program.